Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 101 for the March 2016 previews. Now, in this episode, we're going to be going over some of the items in previews like we've done for the last 100 or so episodes. And yes, I say 100 or so because technically we had an extra one for the New 52 launch for DC. And man, this time we had a lot of clips, so great turnout. We're going to be going through what people find interesting. And there was a lot of things that this month people found interesting, which is cool. We've got an open submission policy, so if you know of something you like, if you're working on a project, if you're an editor, a marketing person, a comic book retailer, creator, another podcaster, just a listener of the show, or you just love comics, by all means, please send in a clip, because that's how we tell each other about what's cool in the previews. Usually I, in the course of editing this episode, add a couple items to my order for DCBS, which is the retailer I use, and even if you're shopping at a local store, particularly if you're shopping at a local store, let them know at this point during the pre-order cycle what you want, because if you wait until it's on the rack, one, you may never see it because it may not be on the rack, or two, you may see it on the rack as somebody else is taking it off to go buy it, and that was the last copy. And that would be kind of unfortunate for everybody, except that other guy who grabbed it. So if you can let your retailer know what you want ahead of time, that's always a great idea. It supports the store, the publishers, the creators, the comic, everything. It's a win-win. Now, there are thousands of items in previews each and every month. It is easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. I can't tell you how many times, again, during these episodes, I find something that I just missed when I was going through it because somebody said, hey, you should check this out. So that's the point of this. We're going to start at the beginning of the previews, work our way to the back. We're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just hitting the highlights. Again, those highlights are picked by people like you. So when the April 2016 previews comes out or the online solicits and you see some interesting stuff, take a few minutes, record a short clip, send it in. We'll include it in the next preview spotlight. We've got a thread on the forum where we post links to the online solicits. Mr. Aloha, Jason from Hawaii, is doing a great job posting a lot of the links, as is Brawlinator. I really appreciate you guys doing that for me. That's just one less thing I need to worry about while I'm working on other aspects of the podcast. So again, thanks, guys. And in those threads, people also say, hey, I'm planning on doing a clip on this, that, or the other. And that way we can kind of reduce the number of duplicates. And I don't mind an occasional duplicate or two. That's kind of cool. It shows some definite interest in some items. But again, as wide a diversity as we can do, that's cool too. So all of that having been said, let's get started.
Hey guys, this is Chris, the Brawlinator Brawly, and I'm back with my first pick this month, and it's found over on page 51 of the Dark Horse section. This is an all-new one-shot co-written by Evan Dorkin and Sarah Dyer. It's Beasts of Burden, Look What the Cat Dragged In. It's a one-shot that's also painted by Jill Thompson. Their previous work on these supernatural pets has won several Eisner Awards for Best Single Issue, Best Publication for Teens, and it awarded Jill Thompson as Best Painter. The concept is cute but scary. It's a group of neighborhood dogs who fight mystical monsters to protect their home and friends. Except this time the focus is on the felines. And as the promotional material has it, when curiosity gets the best of Burden Hill's cats and one reluctant raccoon, sleeping demons are awakened and black magic is unleashed on the town of Burden Hill. These characters were first introduced in the 2005 Eisner Award-winning short story Unfamiliar, which is found within the Dark Horse Book of Witchcraft and first introduced in the short story Stray in the Dark Horse Book of Hauntings, which won Jill Thompson that Eisner Award for Best Painter and Multimedia Artist. This is an all-new one-shot story, and it's following Burden Hill's curious cats and the raccoon as they encounter sleeping demons that are awakened. And to make matters worse, black magic is unleashed on the town of Burden Hill. This standalone adventure would be a perfect entry point for new readers, I think, to this award-winning series. And following the collected Animal Rights edition, there have only been three other uncollected one-shots, which is a Hellboy crossover back in 2010, Neighborhood Watch, which came out in August 2012, and Hunters and Gatherers, which came out in March 2014. So there might be a second collected book coming that reprints this along with those three. Dorkin is a great writer. The art looks tremendous. And with this kind of a pedigree, I expect this one-shot will be absolutely wonderful. Check it out for yourself over on page 51 of the Dark Horse section of previews.
There's really not much for me to add about Beasts of Burden, What the Cat Dragged In on page 51 that Chris didn't already say. I really enjoy the series. I'm looking forward to the one-shot. The art is just terrific. The story is a lot of fun. And this is starring, you know, dogs and cats and you know, neighborhood pets and animals as neighborhood pets and animals. So it's not anthropomorphic or anything. It's a lot of fun. It's a $3.50 comic. It is a comic book page pick of the month. So through DCBS, we've got a 50% discount. I think you should check it out.
Chris Myers with a pick from Dark Horse. It's Mystery Girl Volume 1 Trade Paperback. The writer is Paul Tobin. The artist is Alberto Albuquerque. Trini Hempstead knows everything, or does she? What about the last 10 years of her life? Or why she's been targeted by a killer? Paul Tobin has created an intriguing tale that's worth checking out. This trade collects Mystery Girl numbers 1 through 4.
It's Brawlinator again, and for my next pick, I remain in the Dark Horse section to mention something over on pages 56 and 57. It's My Number One from creator Gene Ha. The art I'm looking at is beautiful, and this story is being brought to us because of Gene Ha's successful Kickstarter campaign, which he conducted last April. It reached its $22,000 goal in 36 hours, and the campaign actually ended up with a total of $75,000, just north of that actually, from 1,476 backers funding a 68-page My graphic novel, which was written and illustrated by Ha. This is Gene Ha's first creator-owned work after his excellent work drawing the Alan Moore-written Top 10. Mai is coming to Dark Horse as an ongoing series rather than the graphic novel, and the solicit reads, "When she was just a girl, Abby discovered a portal to a fantasy world and for the last couple of years has been having great adventures there, defeating horrible monsters, power-mad scientists, and evil nobles. She was a celebrated action hero, but when she turned 21, it all came apart and she decided to return home. Her sister Mai has no idea what happened to Abby all this time, and her tales are just too hard to believe, that is, until the monsters and other terrible creatures start to cross over into our world." Now, Gene Ha's record in comics is very impressive. Since winning the Russ Manning Most Promising Newcomer Award way back in 1994, he's gone on to win 4 Eisner Awards, he's become a New York Times bestseller, and he's worked on various top-shelf comics such as Batman Fortunate Son, Global Frequency, The Shade, Superman, and Top 10, as I mentioned before. Now with artists Rose McLean and Annette Nam, he has created the story of a young geek who reunites with a runaway sister and winds up in a fantasy adventure. Now, we've often seen these kinds of stories in The Wizard of Oz and Narnia tales, where a kid finds a magical place, spends some time there, and then returns a changed person, but finds their absence really took no time at all in the real world. However, in May, the title character's sister Abby has apparently vanished in a similar way 7 years ago and is now only returning a 7 full years later, so it meant her sister May had to grow up a little early in order to take care of their ailing father. So May Fortell grew up without her sister, and now she isn't sure that she even recognizes the oddly dressed Abby, who acts like she's been away from planet Earth and claims to have had all these strange adventures fighting monsters. Well, things get even weirder when it turns out the monsters and their magical realm are real. So it's called May Number One, or My Number One. I'm not exactly sure how it's pronounced, but it is found on page 56 and 57 of this month's previews. I suggest you check it out.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My first pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Dark Horse section on page 58. It's Leaving Megalopolis, Surviving Megalopolis No. 5, written by Gail Simone and art by Jay Calafiore. Now, the solicit reads, a bittersweet reunion takes place against a backdrop of unrelenting terror as the crusader-turned-remorseless killer known as Southern Belle makes the brutal death of Megalopolis' last true heroes her personal mission. And something far worse than wicked this way comes from the bowels of the earth itself. Now, you know, I got issue number 2 this past week through the mail. I read it, you know, and so far I'm enjoying the story. You know, I like what Gail Simone is doing. You know, she's doing a dark take on these superhero tropes. You know, and what's really cool is that, you know, she's like playing with her own characters from her, like, metaphorically speaking, toy box without worrying about, you know, putting them back neatly at the end of the story. You know, so again, you know, I'm enjoying this miniseries so far. But caution, you know, this limited series, you know, has mature themes and it may not be to everyone's taste. You know, and before I end this clip, I just want to give a shout out to Lucas Martin, co-owner of Dragon's Lair here in Hawaii. You know, he ordered me the original Leaving Megalopolis in hardcover. You know, I picked it up a couple weeks ago, you know, and I have it on my reading stack. So again, you know, Lucas, thank you very much. So, and also too, if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up Leaving Megalopolis, Surviving Megalopolis number 5. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John. Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Dark Horse section on page 59. It's Aliens Defiance, number 2, written by Brian Wood, art by Tristan Jones. The solicit reads, Colonial Marine Hendrix and the Weyland-Yutani synthetic Davis break protocol, navigating the Europa to a distant science station discovered in the once-derelict ship's data records, a station that recently went dark. Following the trail of the alien species, they dive deeper into a conspiracy, uncovering just how much is riding on their choices. Now, the last time I read an alien series was, I think, back in the early 90s. And, you know, those are pretty good. So, you know, and when I saw this, you know, in the previous catalog, you know, I've already ordered issue number 1 already. So when I saw it in the previous catalog, you know, I just decided to give this new series a try. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Aliens Defiance number 2. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and my first pick in the March 2016 previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 65 with Usagi Yojimbo number 154, written, drawn, and cover art by Stan Sakai. On sale May 18th for the cover price of $3.99. When Usagi protects a Komori ninja during a raging storm, he never guesses that he will cross paths with her again. But many months later, fate places them on opposite sides of a trade agreement gone wrong. Usagi must protect the merchant while the ninja has been hired to stop him. With the negotiation on the line, which side will emerge victorious? And I love the cover image and how Stan Sakai portrays ninjas. I just received issue 152 in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, but I haven't had a chance to read it just yet. But I really enjoyed issue 151. He really knows how to create a single-issue story and draw you in and make you feel like you know these characters and you care what's going to happen, and how to tell a satisfying story within the pages of a single issue. My only regret is that I didn't start reading Usagi Yojimbo earlier. So I highly recommend Usagi Yojimbo number 154 and any of the reprint editions of past issues, which I plan on getting as time and money allows. Back to you, John.
Hi, this is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch podcast, Gotham by Geeks, and DC Noise. And I'm here to talk about my pick of the month. I get all the DC, so it's hard to even read the solicits because I just automatically just click yes. I am excited for on page 80, Scooby Apocalypse number 1. for several reasons. I've always been a Scooby-Doo fan, and this is a story by Jim Lee and Keith Giffen. And wait till you see who the script is. Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, with art by Howard Porter. And I am loving, like, Justice League 3000 and 3001. Absolutely loving it. And this is the team that did that. So I am totally stoked about this. I am also thinking about that Daphne Joelle Jones cover, because I'm hoping that I can pick what covers I want. I know the DCBS solicits are up today, so I can go check. But I am totally considering that one. The Neil Adams Fred variant cover looked good, and then I'll just probably take the standard variant. But there's so many different variant covers. They even have a coloring book cover by Jim Lee. So we'll see what all those are cost at, and I'm really excited. But this is Scooby-Doo, the characters that we know and love in a post-apocalyptic world. You could kind of think of like Afterlife with Archie, but with Scooby-Doo. And it should be a lot of fun and be pretty funny with writers like Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis at the helm. Bwahaha! Back to you, John.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick in the March 2016 previews comes in the DC Comics section on page 81 with Future Quest number 1, written by Jeff Parker, art and cover by Evan Doc Shaner, with a blank variant cover, a coloring book cover by Evan Doc Shaner, Johnny Quest variant cover by Steve Rude, Space Ghost variant cover by Bill Sienkiewicz, Action Heroes variant cover by Joe Quinones, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name, and Herculoids cover variant by Aaron Lopresti, on sale May 18th, 40 pages for $3.99. When the adventurous and inquisitive Johnny Quest and his adoptive brother Haji make a startling discovery in the swamplands of Florida, they are pulled into an epic struggle between the Space Rangers and a dangerous villain who threatens the galaxy. Now it's up to the combined forces of Team Quest, Internation Security, Space Ghost, and a host of Hanna-Barbera's greatest action heroes to stop him and save their universe. Don't miss the start of this new monthly series that features character designs by comics superstar Darwin Cook, and kicks off with an extra size story and a wraparound cover. The art featured on this page reminded me of many Saturday mornings spent watching TV and some of my favorite cartoons like Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, and the Herculoids. I know there are a couple of other contributors to the Spotlight episode who have also picked this issue, so I hope listeners don't mind me joining them in picking this issue for this Spotlight episode. But I couldn't pass up this opportunity to encourage other listeners, if they haven't already done so, to pick Future Quest number 1, featuring many characters that I enjoyed watching on Saturday morning cartoons in the late 1960s and early 1970s. And I'm stretching my comic book budget just a little bit by adding this issue to my latest order for Discount Comic Book Service. Back to you, John.
I'm really looking forward to Future Quest. This just looks like a lot of fun. I, too, remember watching a lot of these on Saturday morning cartoons. And, man, they've got just a ton of the Hanna-Barbera characters. There are a few that are surprisingly not there. I mean, we've got Birdman and the Galaxy Trio. We've obviously got Space Ghost, Johnny Quest. We've got Frankenstein Jr. We've got the Impossibles. We've got the Herculoids. We don't have young Samson and his battle cat Goliath. Who else don't we have? We don't have Shazam, which is a little more mystical, but again, could fit in this. I mean, we've got Mightnor, I think it is. So, I mean, there are just a ton of classic characters here that they're bringing back. They're doing some fun stuff with. Again, the Galaxy Trio, looking forward to seeing them. Herculoids, Space Ghost, Birdman. This is just, you know, if done well, and I'm thinking it will be. I mean, we got Jeff Parker and Evan Shanner here, so I'm expecting some top quality stuff, and just this is gonna, you know, be evocative of those Saturday morning cartoons that those of us of a certain age just love. Those of you who are unfamiliar with the concept of Saturday morning cartoons, I'm sorry. It was something that fell by the wayside, and I think our culture in America is lesser for it. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. It's a 40-page comic. It's $3.99. It's comic book page pick of the month, so we'll have a 50% discount through DCBS. This is the sort of thing that if you're shopping at a local store, let them know you want, because it's going to be hard for them to gauge the interest. Doesn't do them any good to get too much or too little, so let them know you're interested so they can gauge their orders appropriately. Again, this just looks like a ton of fun. So, once again, Future Quest on page 81. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick from the March 2016 previews comes in the DC section on page 106 with Action Comics number 52, written by Peter J. Tomasi, art by Fernando Pizarin, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name, cover by John Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson, with a variant cover by Ben Oliver, on sale May 11th, 32 pages for $3.99. Super League continues as two Supermen meet at last. Pre-New 52 Superman meets the current Clark. A force seeking to end both Men of Steel brings them together. But divided, they may fall as one Superman must choose the safety of his family before himself. Now, I just received the fifth issue of Superman Lois and Clark from my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, and I've really enjoyed one more peek at the life of the pre-New 52 post-Crisis of Infinite Earths Superman, and I'm looking forward to seeing the current Man of Steel regain his superpowers. And seeing them both in one story makes me more excited about reading a Superman story than I have in a long time. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick from the March 2016 previews comes in the DC section on page 108 with Superman number 52, written by Peter J. Tomasi, art, cover, and variant cover by Mikkel Janin, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name. This issue is on sale May 25th. It's 32 pages for the cover price of $3.99. It's the conclusion of Super League as the new Big Bad makes a last strike against Kal-El's team. Who will triumph and become the new Super League? With these solicits, the main Superman titles reach the magical 52 number. This Super League story has really piqued my interest, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Man of Steel in a leadership role among the DC superheroes once again. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My fifth pick from the March 2016 previews comes in the DC section on page 109 with Superman Lois and Clark number 8, written by Dan Jurgens, art and cover by Lee Weeks, on sale May 18th, with 32 pages for the cover price of $3.99. Don't miss the climactic chapter of the epic story of the pre-New 52 Superman. Kal-El's world is falling apart as Intergang makes its final move against Lois, and the cosmic threat that is Hyathis has come to Earth in search of a power source that will give her dominion over her enemies. Now the future of an entire planet may rest with Superman's young son, John. I've really enjoyed the first four issues of this miniseries, and I'm sad that this will be the final issue. I've enjoyed stories with Superman and his descendants, thanks to Imaginary Stories published in the 1960s, and I haven't been disappointed by this one with his young son, Jonathan. And I hope this Man of Steel has a role to play in the DC Universe post-rebirth. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My sixth pick in the March 2016 previews comes in the DC section on page 110 with Superman, The Coming of the Superman, number 4. Writer, story artist, and cover artist Neil Adams. On sale May 4th, 32 pages, and it's the fourth of a six-issue miniseries for $3.99. Fry, Superman, Fry. The battle between Kalibak and Superman rages on as the denizens of Apocalypse cheer, and Darkseid's homeworld unleashes a weapon that will permanently transmute the Terran solar system. I've always been a big fan of Neil Adams' art style, going back to the late 60s and into the 1970s as a preteen and teenager. And I just received the first issue of this miniseries and my last shipment from DCBS, which I haven't had time to read, but I'm very much looking forward to. And this story, with each solicit, looks more and more interesting, so I anticipate enjoying it very much. Back to you, John.
Joe Crawford with my first pick in the previews catalog. It's on page 120 in the DC Comics section, and it's Robin, Son of Batman, number 12, by Ray Fox and Raymond Box. That kind of rhymed. Anyway, it looks like it's going to be a fun issue. It's going to be a family team-up, Robin, Batman, and Talia. So mom, dad, and son are all going to Dinosaur Island. I've read the last two issues of Robin, and I really enjoyed those. And the fact that they're going to Dinosaur Island is exciting to me because that's one of the old DC staples. So check out Robin, Son of Batman, number 12.
My next clip is on page 126. It's Scooby-Doo Team-Up number 16. I have not read this title, but it got a lot of positive reviews and comments and stuff on our year-end special, so I've been thinking, you know, I ought to check it out. They're teaming up with the Marvel family. So we got Captain Marvel, Mary Marvel, Captain Marvel Jr., Uncle Marvel. It's like, how can I turn this down? This just looks like a ton of fun. You know, I'm a big fan of the Shazam family. So when they get kidnapped by the Monster Society of Evil and Scooby-Doo and gang have to go rescue them, that just sounds like a ton of fun. So once again, that's Scooby-Doo Team-Up number 16 on page 126. It's a $2.99 comic. It's comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 50% discount on DCBS. If you're like me and you haven't been checking it out, again, a lot of our listeners on the show seem to think it's really good stuff, so I'm going to check it out. May try to talk Drew into doing this as the DC book on the week it comes out. So check it out.
Hey everyone, this is Eric from Cowabunga Comics, Comp Salute on the Forum, and we're happy to bring our first pick of the month to the group, and that is going to be the Batman The Golden Age Omnibus Volume 2 Hardcover. This is the second installment. The first one came out, I believe, in early December, maybe late November, in the lead up to Christmas, and this is a 776-page full-color collection that is from the Golden Age, including stories from the early 40s. And it's, it collects Detective Comics 57 through 74, Batman 8 through 15, and World's Finest Comics 4 through 9. This is, this collection is, for me, one of my favorites to read. I don't have the pocket cash to go out and buy all of these issues individually. So if you enjoy, you know, great kind of one and done stories, the Golden Age of Batman and Robin, this is right up your alley. And even at a cover price of $75, for 776 pages, that's a really good deal. I did take a look this morning here on DCBS, and for those of you that order online through them, it's $37.50, so half off. I don't really know how you can go wrong with something like that. In our shop, we'll have it on discount. Usually, it's between 20% and 25% off. So, if anybody's in the area and looking for it, yeah, we'll have it. But outside of that, like I said, this is Bill Finger. It's Bob Kane, Jerry Robinson, and others. It's just phenomenal storytelling. It is truly that Batman in the Golden Age. All the fun costume changes. I know in the first hardcover, it had Batman with the purple gloves, and then the gloves were gone. This one, Batman and Robin are going to be fighting Penguin, Joker, Two-Face, Scarecrow, and many other villains that they come up against. So I'd just like to call out Batman the Golden Age Omnibus Volume 2 Hardcover, page 129 in the solicits. Thanks, and we'll come back with another one here in just a little bit.
Joe Crawford this time on page 132 in the DC Comics section. My pick is 52, Book 1, Trade Paperback. And that's written by Jeff Johns, Grant Morrison, Greg Rucka, and Mark Waid. And honestly, if you listen to the show, I'm pretty sure you probably know this series. So this is going to be 584 pages. It's going to be the first 26 issues of this weekly series that followed up Infinite Crisis and gave us, you know, Booster Gold, The Question, and other various heroes that stepped in while Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman were missing for a year. This is one of my favorite series of all time. I've never owned copies of the trades. I've only had random issues and read the volumes from the library. It's nice to see it back in print. And $30 for 584 pages full color is a pretty good price. I didn't think this was one I could pass up. So if you're interested, Book 1, 52, back in print on page 132 of the DC catalog.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick from the March 2016 previews comes in the Vertigo part of the DC section on page 137 with Astro City number 35, written by Kurt Busiek. Art by Ron Randall and cover by Alex Ross, on sale May 18th, 32 pages for the cover price of $3.99. A spotlight on three generations of Jack in the Box as the second Jack in the Box's son must decide whether to follow in the family footsteps or take another path. Also featuring the Trouble Boys, Mr. Drama, the Weirdies, and more. And featuring guest artist Ron Randall, from Convergence, Catwoman, and Trekker. Astro City is another one of those comic book series that I came to late and only started following regularly with this new Vertigo series. But with each issue I've read, Kurt Busiek and his rest of his creative team have done an excellent job of finding a fresh way to explore the superhero genre. And this particular issue, looking at the generational aspect of a superhero's heritage, really has got me looking forward to this new issue from Astro City. Back to you, John.
Astro City 35 is another one I'm really looking forward to. Not only am I a big fan of Astro City, but Jack in the Box is just a fun character. In this storyline, seems like it's going to be continuing kind of the events of Astro City number 3 from 1995. That was when we first met the Jack in the Box character. And there's an aspect of Astro City where there's a kind of real-time-ish aspect to it, which Kurt Busiek's able to do because a lot of these are pretty much done in one stories. Now, sometimes he'll do a flashback to something set in the 60s or the 70s, so it's not like he's locked into a particular timeline. But in that story in Astro City 3, the Jack in a Box of the time is determining, you know, should he continue to be the Jack in a Box? And he gets a visit, actually multiple visits, from three alternate versions of his son from the future. And this is talking about his son in the present, which could be that same son from the future. So, again, I'm really looking forward to it. Whenever Kurt Busiek really does anything in Astro City, it's great. But when he goes back and revisits a past character or whatever, he always has a very unique and fun take on it. This, for my money, is one of the best superhero books on the market and has been for decades. So I really recommend it. It's a great pick. So once again, Astro City on page 137. It's a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 50% discount, so definitely check it out.
Chris Myers with my next pick from DC. It's Sandman Mystery Theater Book 1, Trade Paperback, written by Matt Wagner, with art by Guy Davis, John Watkiss, and R.G. Taylor. In these noir tales from Sandman Mystery Theater, numbers 1 through 12, millionaire Wesley Dodd becomes the Sandman to fight injustice in 1930s New York City, going after kidnappers, blackmailers, and predators who prey on rich socialites. If you enjoyed Matt Wagner's The Shadow Year 1, you'll really enjoy this series.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC Collectibles section on page 147. Now, I'm looking at the Deathstroke action figure. Now, this is the one from the Teen Titans, the Judas Contract storyline. You know, I've been a big fan of this version of Deathstroke ever since he appeared in the new Teen Titans back in the early 80s. You know, I love this original design. You know, it's, you know, the costume is very slick. It's not bulky, or it's not, you know, like some type of armor modification or anything. And, you know, what it shows is that it shows that, you know, Deathstroke relies more on his fighting skills instead of, you know, like having like armor plating on him or something like that. So, but like I said, this action figure looks cool. You know, it comes with the accessories of like his sword, a gun, his staff, and also interchangeable hands. You know, I'm definitely picking this up through DCBS. So if you guys get a chance, you know, take a look at this Deathstroke action figure. You know, and if you take a look at it, it looks pretty cool. You know, so if you guys get a chance, think about picking it up. I certainly am. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Hi, John. Chris Myers from Troy, New York. My first pick from DC is not a comic book, but a statue. It's the DC Comics Designer Series Harley Quinn by Bruce Timm. It's designed by Bruce Timm and sculpted by Jonathan Matthews. The sheer wackiness of Harley Quinn, former girlfriend of the Joker and all-around whack job, is captured in this statue in the style of her co-creator, legendary animator Bruce Timm. This is a pre-release. It doesn't go on sale till September 2016. So plan ahead. You always need more Harley Quinn statues.
Now, while I've got a great deal of respect for video game creators and such, I'm not much of a video game player. The reason I mention that is my next pick is Back to the Future, Citizen Brown number 1 of 5 from IDW. It's on page 157. This is adapting the video game they did a number of years ago that was written by, among other people, Bob Gale. So they're adapting it to comics for the first time. And I'm really looking forward to it because I'm a big fan of Back to the Future. I haven't played the game, so I don't know its storyline. This is going to give me that opportunity to check out that story, enjoy it, without having to spend hours and hours and hours or days and days playing the video game. So for me, this just looks like a ton of fun. Again, they're having a great deal of success with Back to the Future. They've promoted the previous miniseries to ongoing. Issue number 8 of it is also right here on 157. And the collection of, I guess, the first 5 is on 156. So if you're looking for Back to the Future stuff, there's plenty to be had. Again, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. It is a $4.99 comic. It is 40 pages. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 50% discount through DCBS. Again, I'm a big fan of Back to the Future. This is an adaptation of the video game they did a while back. I think it's worth checking out.
Hey, it's Brandon from the Forecast Podcast with my first pick from the March previews. This one comes from IDW, and it's called Archangel Number 1. It's written by William Gibson, who is a very accomplished science fiction writer. He's written a lot of stories that have gained him a lot of praise, and he's journeying into the comic book realm for the first time, like many writers have, but I think his style will fit very well in the comic book universe. It's drawn by Butch Guichi. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I apologize to him, but I've always enjoyed his art style. He has a very good dynamic art style, and the story is about the U.S. political leaders of this year, which is kind of, I'm wondering if he's going to use the actual political leaders of this year, or if he's going to make up fictional ones. But the planet is radioactive, and they've chanced upon a new machine called a splitter that is going to allow them the opportunity to create a new reality for them to infiltrate and possibly corrupt. So it sounds like it's a little bit of a political intrigue series, which I think will fit with his style very well. And I'm very excited about this book. So pick up Archangel Number 1 from IDW.
Hey guys, this is Wade, also known as Rowdy from Scrubs, on the forum. I'm pitching IDW's Biggest Bang, number 1 of 4, written by DJ Kirkbride, art by Vasilis Gatsgalas. I'm sure I slaughtered the last name. This is a continuing story from The Bigger Bang, which came out in the winter of 2014-2015. It is following a possibly stronger than Superman character in a very intergalactic quest to right wrongs and things like that. His big hook is that he was created at the expense of a different multiverse being destroyed. It's pretty cool. Neat take on a Superman-ish kind of character. And it is kind of fun because a lot of the creatures that populate that galaxy don't know whether he exists or not, whether he's God, whether he's the devil, things like that. The art's super scratchy, so if you're looking for really clean kind of stuff, this isn't your book, but I'd at least say check out number one or jump on to whatever your favorite sites for backdated comics. And I also know that The Bigger Bang is out in a trade, so grab onto it. And DJ Kirkbride is super cool on Facebook, so that's why I'm pitching his book. Thanks.
Hi, this is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona. This is only the second time I am submitting for the Monthly Previews podcast. I've always listened, and last month was such a blast when it was podcast number 100 that I want to keep celebrating each month. So here I go with some more. For my first of this month, page 177 of the in the IDW section is Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas number one. Now, I grew up on Hunter S. Thompson. I was a very weird kid, but I grew up on Hunter S. Thompson. I read everything he did. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas was the first, and I've read it. I've seen the movie. I even, to be honest, have this in the hardcover format. And to be honest, I'm not buying this, but I am recommending it to anyone who did not buy this in the hardcover format that came out a few months ago. This is written and drawn by Troy Little. And in the previews, it says, Troy Little's gonzo adaptation of Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is now available in an all-new format. Find out why GQ said Little's cartoonish sensibilities make him the ideal artist to adapt Thompson's gonzo-er text, perfectly portraying literature's most ridiculous road trip. This comic book version is presented in black and white and at a slightly larger size than the full-color hardcover edition. Each issue also includes pages from Little's sketchbook and other behind-the-scenes information. Now, you might say, well, black and white, and there's a full-color hardcover edition? Well, I'm going to go get that. Well, do it. I recommend either one. But Hunter S. Thompson, he is great. If you have never read his work, please, once you start, you'll never stop.
Billy Hogan again. My eighth pick from the March 2016 previews comes from the IDW section on page 179 with Winona Earp, number 4. Writer Bo Smith, story and regular cover artist Laura Innes, sub cover by Chris Evenhouse, and there's also a photo sub cover featuring a character from the new Winona Earp television series, which will premiere April 1st on the Sci-Fi Channel. An ex-Black Badge Division scientist has gone rogue, and only Winona Earp can bring the mad scientist to justice before he turns a small town into his own personal zombie nightmare. This issue is 32 pages for $3.99. I just received the first issue of this series in my latest shipment from DCBS, which I haven't had a chance to read yet, but I'm looking forward to reading these new Winona Earp adventures. I have a collected edition of her original adventures published in the previous decade, and in the February previews, there was a solicit for a reprint of that same edition. So you have an opportunity to enjoy both the new and old adventures of Winona Earp. Back to you, John.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics in Hawaii with my next pick from the IDW section, Amazing Force number 5. Now I'm going to read the solicit, Tales for the Bold, Ideas for the Strange. Now I'm going to try to pronounce this writer's name, Ulysses Farinas and Eric Freitas, and a cavalcade of new talent bring to life amazing fantastical tales, wish goblins, rampaging robots, a melting snowman, and a villain that conquers the world. Now, basically, I've been picking up this series, and it's pretty good. It's basically a comic book that has like about maybe 4 short stories in it, and it's pretty good. And I just want to give a shout out to Randy Martin, co-owner of Dragon's Lair. She recommended me this comic book series, and it's a great comic book series so far. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Amazing Force number 5. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Further down into previews in the IDW section, over on page 190 is my next pick, and it's The Adventures of Dieter Lumpen, graphic novel by Jorge Zentner and Ruben Pellejero. This is a full reprint of an action-adventure series from the 80s and 90s. It was quite inspired by Corto Maltese, and it's about 100 pages. Actually, about 100 pages of this character stories were published in Heavy Metal Magazine back in the late 80s and early 90s. Now IDW is publishing the complete adventures in a single volume, and it clocks in around 270 pages. This is the first English translation of the entire Adventures of Dieter Lumpen and the most famous work of the award-winning team of Zentner and Pellejero. Dieter Lumpen is a man of the world, an adventurer who wants no part of adventure. Nonetheless, he is swept along to exotic locations from Turkey to the Caribbean, from China to Venice. He's not quite so hard-boiled as the typical adventure hero, but as written by Zentner, Dieter's irony is gentler and more subtle, more reflective, and more tongue-in-cheek than hard or bitter. Pellejero is simply one of Europe's top comic artists. He was chosen for the plum job to illustrate the new adventures of Hugo Pratt's Corto Maltese. Dieter Lumpen began in 1981 and continued until 1994. So this is the definitive omnibus. It collects all 8 short stories and all 3 graphic novels with a foreword by Tim Sale. It's an exciting omnibus edition that's a suitable addition to any serious collection. Check it out in the IDW section over on page 190 of this month's previews.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my pick from Image. It's on page 194 in the previews catalog. It is Renata Jones, The 1%, number 1. This is story, art, and cover by Carrie Kyle Andrews. And the tagline is, the super rich are super effed. So, what's not to love about this? Eat the rich, down with the rich, burn the rich. Special double-sized first issue for the 1% number 1, Renata Jones. If you liked what this creator did for Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, or Spider-Man Reign, maybe you'll like this. It's got a cool cover. It's got some great sample pages in here, so please check that out on page 194 in the Image section. And Mr. Aloha is always asking us to give a shout out to some of our local comic shops, so I'd like to give a shout out to Comic Shop Plus in Newark, Ohio. It was my old shop that I had to leave when I took a new job, so nice little shop, got a lot of magic stuff going on up there. They've got some great back issues. Check it out and say hi to manager Jeremy there, who is a great guy and always hooked me up with the 25 back issues for $1 a piece. Heck of a dude, heck of a shop. Comic Shop Plus in Newark, Ohio. Check them out if you're in town.
Billy Hogan again. My 9th pick from the March 2016 previews comes in the Image section on page 213 with Invincible number 128. Story, Robert Kirkman. Art, Corey Walker and Nathan Fairbairn. Cover, Ryan Ottley and Jean-Francois Bulot. This issue will be published on May 18th, and it's 24 pages for $2.99. Alan the Alien is under its attack. Has Mark's absence put all his friends and family in danger? Will he be able to put things right before it's too late? Robert Kirkman and his creative team have always done a great job of putting a fresh, different spin on the comic book superhero genre. And after his recent reboot storyline, it seems to have made things even more interesting and troublesome for Mark, which is always fun when you're reading your comic book superheroes, but not so fun when it's in real life. So I'm glad it's happening to Mark and not me. And Invincible continues to be one of the most fun and interesting superhero titles. Back to you, John.
Hi, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my next pick. It's in the Image section, page 214, and it is Low number 14. What's special about Low number 14 versus 13, 12, 11, back to 1? The whole series is special, and that's why I want to mention this one. It's a story by Rick Remender. Now, we all know Rick Remender. He's done a lot of stuff in the comic world, a lot of great stuff, but I just don't think that Low is one that is as popular as some of his other works that he is putting out today. The art by Greg Turchini is eclectic. Some people may not love it, but when you really get used to it, you really realize how interesting and intriguing that art is, and how he really does know how to draw the human figure, even though at first you might think you're looking at some type of science fiction spaghetti. That's the best part about Low. Low is pure science fiction. It's not ray guns, not spaceships. It actually takes place underwater with humanity trying to actually get above water and find out how they can escape the poisoned waters and oceans and Earth. But really, it's hard to describe without just making it sound like a bland science fiction plot. But if you really want some good science fiction comic book type of story, Low is a great story. Sure, there's action, there's battles, there's gore, there's sex, there's everything in it. But there's just a part of it that when you finish reading each issue, you realize, you know, that was really interesting and that was really unique. And I want to read the next one. So please go read the next one and find all the ones before.
All right. This is Eric from Cowabunga Comics coming back with our second pick of the month. This one is out of the Image section, and it is Velvet number 15. This is the story arc conclusion to The Man Who Stole the World by Ed Brubaker, with art by Stephen Epting and Elizabeth Breitweiser. The solicit states that this book is the conclusion where Velvet finally gets the answer she's been looking for in the shattering conclusion to her first big arc. So Velvet has two trades out right now. This obviously, the end of this next arc will mean that there will be a third trade. A couple things. Number one, I view this book, and when someone comes in and asks for a cool book, maybe like a James Bond type thing, this is always the book that I turn them to. I think that Brubaker has proven himself time and time again with, you know, things like Criminal Fatale, just wrapped up his Fade Out book. It's just you can't beat the style of writing if you kind of really like the procedural type stuff. The only one to me that comes close is Greg Rucka. So if you're a Rucka fan and you haven't read this, you might like it quite a bit. But basically, for those that don't have any familiarity with it, Velvet is, I guess, for lack of a better term, kind of a retired secret agent who's kind of living quietly, and a lot of the people around her don't know what her past is. And the way the story starts, you know, back at issue one, there's some events that occur that make her kind of look back into her past, open up a lot of questions. She starts going on the hunt. People start realizing, holy crap, this is more than just a woman who is a secretary, which is where we see her in the first book. She is highly skilled, highly trained, and won't be broken or stopped. So you're all over with her as far as locations around the globe. It has a very Bond feel in the sense that there's no limit or boundary to what she can and will do. There's tons of twists along the way based on who her commanding seniors are, and you know how they either meet their end or she goes around them or she elicits help from them. But the fact that this is the end of the story arc is kind of a bittersweet thing for me. We know that Brubaker signed an exclusive contract with Image for 5 years, but the way that I understood it, that was Brubaker and Sean Phillips. So considering this art is done by Steve Epting, I don't know if this is kind of a wrap-up and a halt for a while. This book has been slow to come out as Brubaker's been doing his other work, so it's definitely could have suffered from people jumping off, but I think that this is one of those books, again, a Brubaker book that reads almost as well in a trade as single issues, if not better. You're just sacrificing back matter. So if you haven't read any of these, you should be able to pick them up at your local retailer. They can usually get in any one of these. Also, I believe the first issue of Velvet is a $1 first issue that you can get through Image. But check it out. I think it's a fantastic book if you like kind of that spy, the procedural type stuff. I think it really does a good job of putting a female as the main centerpiece of a story without making her overtly sexual as the main seller. She's a female, and there are female sections of the book, but by and large, she's just a badass. And I personally would love to see this on a screen someday, whether it's in a theatrical movie style or in a like an HBO series. But so yeah, this is Cowabunga Comics is going to recommend Velvet number 15. If you haven't gotten them, go back and read them. I'm sure you'll probably like them. So again, Image Comics, page 225, Velvet 15 by Ed Brubaker, Steve Epting, and Elizabeth Breitweiser. All right, we will be back with a pick from the Marvel section here in a little while.
Now moving into the Marvel previews, on page number 2 of the Marvel previews, Captain America Steve Rogers number 1. Written by Nick Spencer, we've got Jesus Saez, and forgive me if I've mispronounced the name, on art and cover. Man, the image they show here on page, I really wish they would put page numbers on this Marvel catalog. I'm going to go with page 3 here, of Steve Rogers as Cap with the kind of badge, triangular-shaped shield, and his new costume just looks awesome. It's evocative of the classic. It is not the classic. I'd kind of prefer him to have the round shield, but you know, Sam's still got it. Sam's still got his own title, so it's like, all right. I'm looking forward to this. I'm a huge, huge Captain America fan. I love the Steve Rogers character. I'm cool with there being two captains at the time. To me, the biggest question is, do I go for the action figure variant cover, which just looks awesome? But man, the regular cover looks great too. So, not gonna rule out the possibility of double dipping here. Don't know if I will or not, but anyways, I'm definitely getting a copy of it. It's 40 pages, it is $4.99, but you know, hey, it's Cap's 75th anniversary, let's cut him a little slack. It is a comic book page pick of the month that gives us a 50% discount through DCBS, making it a much more palatable price point. Nick Spencer's a great writer. This is a wonderful character, and I'm glad they're getting him kind of back in the limelight again. Steve Rogers is just awesome. And we're still going to have, though, Sam as a Captain America. We've got the Winter Soldier here in the cover image. Again, I'm looking forward to it. I think you should definitely check it out. So once again, Captain America Steve Rogers number 1 on page 2 of the Marvel previews. Check it out.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 4. It's The Punisher number 1, written by Becky Cloonan and art by Steve Dillon. The solicit reads, a by-the-numbers drug bust is about to take Frank Castle by surprise, and he hates surprises. The horrible fallout threatens to send the Punisher into the heart of darkness, but Castle won't make that journey alone. A DEA agent is on his trail and attempting to get into his head, but what horrors will she find there? And will she survive the experience? First-time Punisher writer Becky Cloonan. Now, she's the writer of the Gotham Academy series from DC. And quintessential artist Steve Dillon are forcing Frank Castle out of his comfort zone and taking him to the edge of the world he thought he knew. Now, I've been a big Punisher fan ever since his first appearance in The Amazing Spider-Man back in the 70s. And, you know, when I heard that Steve Dillon was going to be the artist on this new Punisher series, you know, I was thinking, oh, this is great. This is going to be very good. So that's why I'm going to be picking up this new Punisher series. Now, if you're
a fan of the Punisher, or if you want to familiarize yourself with the Punisher, I recommend that go to page 125 of the Marvel's Previews catalog. Back there has the Punisher collections of the trades, and they're re-soliciting some of his trades. And one of the trades I'm going to point to is the Garth Ennis Steve Dillon run, Welcome Back Frank trade paperback. That is the perfect Punisher story. So if you're a big fan of the Punisher, or if you're like a new fan of the Punisher, this is the perfect trade to pick up. So if you guys get a chance, pick up the Punisher number one, and also two, check out the Punisher Welcome Back Frank trade paperback as well. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
One of the really great Marvel comics of the Hero Reborn era was Thunderbolts. They were launched as a new super team to fill in the void while the Fantastic Four, the Avengers, and whatnot were gone. And Kurt Busiek just did some great stuff, particularly in the first year or two of that title. That series wound up going, I think, like 70 or 80 issues or something. It went a really long time. It got revamped, seriously revamped, a time or two. But the classic Thunderbolt stuff is just awesome. And here on page 6 of the Marvel Previews, we've got a new Thunderbolts number 1. We've got Jim Zub on the writing. He's a really talented guy. Not only is just a writer, but as a teacher, I've gone to a panel or two he's done on writing comics, and I've been to many of those kinds of panels, but I found his to be particularly interesting, insightful, and informative. So if you ever have a chance to listen to Jim Zub speak at a convention, I recommend it. Certainly check out his work. We've got John Mallon on the art and the cover. The stuff looks great. We've got a team of renegades that are those that could be heroes or villains, and they're being led by the Winter Soldier. So this just looks like a lot of fun. I'm a fan of the basic premise of the Thunderbolts, a lot of the particular team members and such, and I'm curious which way they're going to go on this. So it's coming out of the Avengers standoff storyline. We'll see how that goes. It's 32 pages. It's $3.99. It is a comic book page pick of the month. So we've got a 50% discount through DCBS. I think it's worth checking out.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics in Hawaii with my pick from the Marvel section on page 16. It's The Ultimates, number 7, written by Al Ewing and regular series artist Kenneth Rocafort. On the road to Civil War II, the Ultimates deal with the fallout from their journey outside and the return of the Anti-Man. Meanwhile, Project Pegasus holds the key to humanity's survival or destruction, and Thanos is coming for it. Now, this is a great jumping on point for this this great series. Like I said, it's a sleeper hit, and like I said, it's telling a great cosmic story of this series. Again, if you guys get a chance, pick up the Ultimates number 7. I've already got this here on my pull list at Dragon's Lair in Hawaii. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Wade, also known as Rowdy from Scrubs again. This time I'm telling you should be picking up The Astonishing Ant-Man number 8. Nick Spencer is just crushing it on this book. Tons of pop culture references, some of them, 90s, 80s, 2000s, just generally pretty funny stuff if you're into the drier sense of humor. Decent amount of action. Scott Lang is down in Miami. He has a security firm. He works with a couple of C, D-list villainy kind of people. Pretty much it's Superior Foes of Spider-Man with a different cast of characters. So if you dug that, check this out. I really like it.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics with my next pick from the Marvel's Preview section. It is on page 26. It is The Mighty Thor number 7, written by Jason Aaron and art by Rafi Garasis. Now, this is a very long solicit that I'm going to read, so it's going to take me a while. You wouldn't like this Viking when he's angry. That's it. That's the whole solicit. So again, you know, I've got the Mighty Thor number 7 on my pull list here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles. And, you know, I like the art on this page. I guess it's showing the Viking Hulk. So if you guys get a chance, pick up the Mighty Thor number 7. I've got this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Joe Crawford on page 29 of the Marvel catalog. Once upon a time, a robot and a witch fell in love. What followed was a tale of the dead and the dying, of the hopeful and of the lost, of the wronged and the avenged. And in the end, after both had fallen, the witch and the robot rose from the dirt and eyed each other across a field of blood and bone. Tom King and Michael Walsh on Vision number 7. This is a story that says 45 years in the making. I was a huge fan of the limited series from the 80s of the Vision and Scarlet Witch. And it's nice to see the two of those characters back together again. So I'm excited about Vision number 7 in the Marvel catalog. Lately, one thing I've been doing with my kids is reading comics to them digitally while we're in the car, while we're waiting somewhere for something. So my next pick is dedicated to my two boys, and that's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy number 8 on page 45, because it stars their two favorite characters. My one son's favorite is Groot, and my other son's favorite character is Venom, and it's not going to be too often that that comes together so perfectly. So we're going to be checking out Venom and Groot versus Skrulls. I don't know exactly if it's going to be the most in-depth of stories, but it looks like fun and action, and I bet the two boys will really enjoy it. And that's Guardians of the Galaxy number 8. Joe Crawford, next pick, once again following up, is one of the new family favorites. It's a book the boys and I read every issue, and that's Venom Space Knight number 7. It's a fun little romp of a book. Nothing too in-depth. It's a quick read, but it's one we really enjoy. It's got a crazed panda bear, basically alien, a suicidal robot, 803, and of course, Flash Thompson and his symbiote. The art is absolutely gorgeous by Ariel Olivetti. So if you just want to try a fun little romp of a book, Venom Space Knight number 7. It's one we enjoy, and we're looking forward to this issue.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 50. It's Howard the Duck number 7, written by Chip Zdarsky and special guest artist Kevin Maguire. And that's it. You already sold me at the artist Kevin Maguire. I'm already going to pick up this issue of Howard the Duck number 7. I'm going to read the solicit. When a case takes Howard and Tara to the Savage Land, they need all the help they can get. But instead, they make do with Spider-Man, She-Hulk, Daredevil, and Steve Rogers. Join Chip and special guest artist Kevin Maguire for an issue we like to call Howard the Duck, Volume 6, Issue 7. So as you can see, I'm a big Kevin Maguire fan. You know, I followed his work ever since he did the Justice League series back in the late 80s. You know, again, like I said, Kevin Maguire, he's, you know, one of my favorite artists. And the reason why I like him is basically it's like when he draws characters' facial expressions, they're very good. It's very expressive, and at times it's very funny. So if you guys get a chance, and like how the solicit puts it, you know, pick up Howard the Duck, Volume 6, Issue 7. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
It's Brandon with my next pick from the March previews. This comes from the Marvel insert, and it's Daredevil Punisher number 1. This is written by Charles Soule with art by Simon Kudransky. Now, the little blurb about this issue seems like it's a pretty straightforward Daredevil Punisher kind of a story. But with Charles Soule writing it, you never know what kind of twist he might put on the story. Basically, one of Matt Murdock's clients has to have a change of venue for his trial. And this client is bad enough that the Punisher wants to put him out of business permanently. And so there's basically a race between Daredevil and Punisher for Daredevil's side, to try and get this guy to the courthouse without him taking a bullet along the way. away, and the Punisher is trying to take him out. This issue is really interesting to me just because the Punisher is going to be appearing on the Netflix Daredevil series coming up here soon, and I think this probably will tie in, I mean, not directly, but it'll kind of parallel that series as it's going forward. And I've been loving the Daredevil TV show, so I'm hoping to love this series as well. So if you want some good Daredevil Punisher action, pick up Daredevil Punisher number 1. And it is a miniseries, so you don't even have to have a long-term commitment to this series. There's only 4 issues coming out.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics in Hawaii with my next pick from the Marvel section on page 68. It's the all-new X-Men number 9, written by Dennis Hopeless, art by Mark Bagley. Apocalypse War continues. The all-new X-Men entry into Apocalypse War starts here. The all-new X-Men are on a mission to step out of the shadows of their predecessors and write their own futures. And none are more determined to forge their own way than Evan Sabner, who is allegedly destined to one day become the genocidal villain Apocalypse. But now, by way of unintentional intervention by his teammate Beast, Evan is brought face to face with Apocalypse himself, and also brought face to face with the question he's been running from: can you escape your destiny? Now, basically, I'm picking up this Apocalypse War crossover event here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles in Hawaii. This is a 40-page issue, priced at $4.99. Again, you know, I've got this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lair's Collectibles and Comics. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Eric coming back from Cowabunga Comics here with our first pick out of the Marvel section, and that's going to be from the True Believers Star Wars group on pages 84 and 85, specifically True Believers Star Wars Classic number 1. This is a reprint of the 1977 Star Wars number 1, and just can be a pricey book for some people to get. Myself, I'm just going to grab it and page through it again like I have in the past and other printings, and just enjoy it. So for a buck, you can't go wrong. There's also a number of other Star Wars titles here for a dollar this month, and I think some of them have been for multiple months, but you got Star Wars 1, Vader 1, Lando, Chewie, Shattered Empires number 1, Kanan the Last Padawan number 1. There's a Star Wars Covers number 1 book, the True Believers Droids number 1, and Vader Down number 1. So some of you may have already seen these, others may not have, but just wanted to call that one out, the Star Wars True Believers Classic number 1, and that's on page 85 in the Marvel Solicits. Thanks, we'll be coming back with another Marvel pick shortly.
Joe Crawford with my final selection on page 91 in the Marvel catalog, and that's going to be Darth Vader number 20. Writer Karen Gillan, artist Salvador LaRocca have been providing a really good tale of Darth Vader. I've been reading it in trades, and I've really enjoyed the issue so much that I started picking up singles around Vader Down, and it's been very compelling. This looks like a really good one. It's a new story arc. End of Games begins this issue. But one thing that really sold me in picking this up as a single is it has a bonus tale of 000 and Beatty. And if you haven't met the torture protocol droid and his demented friend, this might be a good one to pick up because it looks like they're going to have their own solo tale. And that's my final pick of the month. Once again, I'd like to thank John for providing us this show. And it's awesome to be able to provide clips of our favorite, you know, books and stuff that we're interested in every month. And just make sure that you support what you can, support what you like. That way it can be there next month. Everyone have a great month. Cheers.
Hi, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my next pick, and that is in the Marvel catalog, actually under Icon, but it is the Marvel catalog, and it's page 92 and 93. And it's Scarlet number 8 and Scarlet number 9. Okay, I am not a big supporter of books where you get pulled in and then you wait for months and months, years and years, even decades for the next issues. And I tend to want to punish those creators by pretty much saying, you know what, I'll get back to you on the next thing you come out with. Scarlet, I don't know why I do this to myself, but it is constantly in periods of delay. And yet, here comes issue 8 and 9. Good golly, I'm going to give in and get it. I don't stand by my morals. This is written, created by Brian Michael Bendis, and art by Alex Maleev. That's one reason I can't resist. This is really a personal project for Brian Michael Bendis. It's not one of those stories that he takes issues and issues and issues to tell a story that could have been done in one or two. It really is unique. It breaks the fourth wall. And I just have a really good feeling each time this one comes out. Again, this is another mature book, but let me read you what it says. Scarlet number 8, the most controversial and best-reviewed comic book on the stands today, is back. From the Eisner Award-winning team of Bendis and Maleev comes the latest chapter in Scarlet's one-woman American Revolution. Scarlet makes her boldest move yet, taking City Hall hostage while the entire country watches. How will the public react to her list of demands? And issue number 9, for pretty much the same introduction, but another explosive chapter of one of the most controversial creator-owned comics being published today. Scarlet has declared war on a city that refuses to stop the corruption that is strangling it from within, and now she'll be forced to make her most dangerous move yet, letting them capture her. I know after I read these two books, I'm probably not going to see it again until 2018, who knows when. But I'm going to buy them, and hopefully you guys will also. Thank you.
Hey, this is Eric from Cowabunga Comics coming back with our next pick from the Marvel section. And this one's going to be Doctor Strange Omnibus Volume 1 Hardcover. This is just a wonderful compilation of books from Strange Tales, numbers 110 and 11, 114 through 146, and Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 2. It's the great work done by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko with, you know, Roy Thomas, Denny O'Neill. Just a fantastic run of books. Obviously, with the movie coming out soon with Benedict Cumberbatch, this is getting a lot more heat. 456 pages, and, you know, Marvel is what Marvel is, and they will charge what they want. This 456 pages for $75, to me, is quite a bit more realistic compared to what some of their omnibus prices are in the $100 to $125 range. Even better than that, if you don't shop at a local store and you go to DCBS, they've got it for $37.50. Just, you know, the price is great there. Just at $75, it's great. And another cool piece about this, or maybe it's a challenge, is you're going to have to figure out what cover you want. There's two covers to this hardcover. There's the a beautiful Alex Ross painted version, which, you know, it's Alex Ross. So if you enjoy his work, it is gorgeous. It's stunning. It has Dr. Stephen Strange kind of sitting, almost meditating. And in behind him in the ethers is kind of a version of him, a holographic version of him, just shouting with his arms outstretched. It's wonderful. And then the other option, which is only available to the direct market, is going to be a Strange Tales 146 Ditko cover, which features Dr. Strange on the front, and it says, "The End at Last." So for those of you that know what that book is all about, that's the cover that they chose for the direct market only variant. That one is also $75. This is an oversized item, and it has the complete Lee Ditko Dr. Strange run. It's restored in one volume and has the first appearances of Baron Mordo, Eternity, Dormammu, and the Mindless Ones, as well as Wong and Kalia. So again, Strange Tales 110 through 111 and 114 through 146, and Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 2, page 107 in the Marvel Solicits. And we'll be coming back with, I think, one more pick yet this month.
It's Chris Brawlinator Brawley again, and for my first pick in the Marvel previews, I'm on page 108, and it's volume 2 of 4 in an omnibus series collecting Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. This is continuing the complete collection of one of comics' most sought-after classic series. It's Martial Arts Madness in the Mighty Marvel Manor. That's a tongue twister. In the mighty Marvel manner, as Shang-Chi, a secret agent for British intelligence, pits his deadly hands against the claws of the cat. The master of kung fu wrestles with the unstoppable sumo, has his world rocked by shockwave, and goes into aerial combat with the Red Baron. You'll feel for him when he faces the demon warrior Shaka Karn. That is not the singer. That's Shaka Karn. But what good will furious fists and flying feet be against Dr. Doom of all villains? Plus, in the Ultimate Martial Arts team-up, Shang-Chi will fight alongside Iron Fist. But his fiercest battle will come against his most bitter foe, his own father. Now, this second volume collects Master of Kung Fu issues 38 through 70 and annual number 1, written by Doug Minch, Paul Galassi, Archie Goodwin, and Scott Edelman. Penciled by Paul Galassi, Sal Buscema, Jim Craig, Keith Pollard, Mike Zeck, Pat Broderick, and Keith Pollard. There's a cover by John Cassaday and a direct market edition cover by Paul Galassi. This hardback clocks in at a respectable 664 pages, and it will be out in stores in September 2016. I wanted to keep this short for those that ordered the first omnibus, since I didn't really see this as a potential jumping on point for casual fans. Again, you can find the collected Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu omnibus in the Marvel previews on page 108.
Chris Myers with my Marvel pick. It's Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, Omnibus Volume 2 Hardcover. Continuing the complete collection of one of comics' most sought-after classic series, it's the martial arts madness in the mighty Marvel manner, as Shang-Chi, a secret agent who battles evil for British intelligence. But his fiercest battle will come against his most bitter foe, his own father. Collecting Master of Kung Fu, numbers 38 through 70, and annual number 1. At 664 pages, this is a whole lot of kung fu.
Wow, on page 111 in the Marvel previews, I'm just admiring the Spidey Treasury Edition oversized format collection. Marvel Comics celebrates its past here with the return of its classic Treasury Edition format. Now, the oversized presentation was popularized back in the 70s, and it makes its return this June for a special collection of Robbie Thompson and Nick Bradshaw's first Spidey arc. Spidey All-New Treasury Edition arrives in June, collecting the series' first five issues with a cover price of only $15.99. I suspect DCBS will have that at half off or close to it. So the series takes a look at the early days of Peter Parker's superhero career, and Spidey seems like the perfect title to bring back in this classic comic format. The format is also referred to as the Marvel Special Edition or Marvel Treasury Special. It was very popular in the mid-70s all the way through the early 80s, featuring mostly reprinted but sometimes new material in a 10-inch by 14-inch package. A number of milestone comic moments were commemorated in this format, including Superman and Spider-Man meeting for the first time, and Batman and the Hulk battling it out, and I think this is the perfect series for this classic format. I'm definitely adding this to my order. My nephew loves the classic Bronze Age Spidey comics, and this is also an all-ages comic as well, so it might make a great gift for a new comic reader. Check it out. It's over on page 111 in the Marvel previews.
Spider-Man, where are you coming from, Spider-Man? Nobody knows who you are.
Billy Hogan again. My 10th and final pick from the March 2016 previews comes in the back half of the catalog on page 254 from Abstract Studios. Rachel Rising, number 42, writer, story, and cover artist Terry Moore. Final issue. Rachel's quest comes to an end when she learns the true identity of her killer and the terrible secret that binds them. Will she sacrifice everything to break the curse that haunts her? Read the shocking end of Terry Moore's award-winning series in the final issue. I began reading Terry Moore's comic book stories with, I think, issue 74 of Strangers in Paradise, so I only had like about 16 issues of that series before it ended. I've read his series Echo, and now Rachel Rising, and one thing I can say about Terry Moore is the only thing he does not know how to do is create a bad issue. I've enjoyed every issue he's ever done. He's never created one that wasn't boring or didn't seem to progress the story. He's always done a quality job in story, art, plot, and character development. So I'm looking forward to whatever Terry Moore will be creating next. On the same page, there's a listing of 6 trade paperbacks from Rachel Rising, and on the following page, a full-page ad featuring Terry Moore's Rachel Rising. So if you haven't tried this series yet, all of the trade paperbacks will be available, I assume, including this final issue as well. So I would highly recommend Rachel Rising, even if you're not a horror fan. Like, I don't go out of my way to watch horror movies or read horror stories, but Rachel Rising is an excellent series, regardless of whether or not you're a fan of horror. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this platform for all of us to share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My last pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Aftershock section on page 264. It's Aftershock Genesis number 1. Now, this looks like a sample comic book that Aftershock is putting out. It's 40 pages and it's for $1. You know, and just by looking through the solicit, you know, it's going to give previews of upcoming series that the company's going to be putting out. And also, there's going to be a special zero chapter of Paul Jenkins' daring new Aftershock series, not to be printed or seen anywhere else. Now, Aftershock seems to be an up-and-coming small publisher. I know the editor-in-chief is Mike Martz. Now, I know, if I remember correctly, Mike used to be one of the editors at Marvel. I think he was the editor for the X-Men series. And also, too, it seems like, you know, Aftershock is really getting a very good buzz. Especially, I know Drew's been reviewing some of Aftershock comics on Comics for Fun and Profit. And also, too, he started a thread on the comic book page forum titled Aftershock Comics Offering. So if you guys get a chance, you know, check out the thread on the forum. Again, it's Aftershock Comics Offering. You know, see what him and John and everyone else is talking about this new publisher. And also, too, it seems like, you know, they've been getting, you know, great writers, too. Everyone from Brian Azzarella to Garth Ennis. So, you know, if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up Aftershock Genesis number 1. And you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up a few extra copies and give it to some friends of mine for them to, you know, try out this new publishing company. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Konnichiwa. This is Alan Bowman, living in Japan, Alien Al 121 on the forums. And I'm here with my first and first ever pick and clip for the preview spotlight. My pick is on page 274 of the previews catalog. It's Pink Panther number 1 from American Mythology Productions. I'll read a bit from the solicit. The cool cat is back. Generations of kids grew up loving the Pink Panther's unique style and wit on Saturday cartoons. And now, today's best artists and writers are delivering original comic book stories that bring the trademark Pink Panther flair for confounding the Inspector and the Little Man to legions of fans. Now, I'm definitely getting this because I remember those Saturday morning cartoons. In fact, I'll probably try to get the retro animation variant cover from Discount Comic Book Service. Thank you, and on to the next clip.
It's Brawlinator again, and finally, Afterlife with Archie returns with issue number 9. Check out the solicit here on page 282 of this month's previews catalog. As a fan of these Archie horror titles, it's been hard not to notice that they haven't been around much lately. Despite critical acclaim and a new wave of interest from readers for the story of Riverdale's favorite teens making their way through the zombie apocalypse, last year only saw one issue of Afterlife with Archie hit the shelves. Now, though, it seems our national nightmare is about to return. In the latest Archie Comics solicitations for May, we are promised the return of Roberto Aguiar-Sacasa and Francesco Francavilla's Afterlife with Archie, Staggering Back from the Grave on June 1st. Here's what the solicit says. It's Betty, Rest in Peace, Part 4, The Trouble with Reggie. The horror began in Riverdale when Reggie Mantle struck and killed Jughead's beloved pooch Hot Dog, and since then, Reggie has been living with this secret knowledge and terrible guilt. With no one to talk about it, Reggie has started to crack under the strain, and he's seeing visions of his dead friends, or are they literal ghosts? When an act of kindness prompts a confession from him, Reggie must decide for himself once and for all, is there any good within him? Or is Reggie, as we've always suspected, beyond redemption? This is definitely for teen plus readers. Check it out if you dare. Both this title and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina solicits can be found on page 282 of this month's previews. And I do want to mention this. Back when I first read the collected trade of the first five issues, it was the first time I had ever been actually emotionally moved by a comic book in decades. I really suggest you check this out if you haven't already. Again, it's on page 282 of this month's previews. It's Afterlife with Archie, along with The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Hi, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona again with my next pick on page 282 of the previews catalog. It is Sabrina number 5. What am I doing to myself? I just got finished talking about Scarlet and talking about comic books that have such long delays in them that I just get irked regardless of how good they are, and I just tell myself I am not going to buy them, I am not going to buy them, I am not going to buy them, and I am going to buy Sabrina number 5. Sabrina falling under the Archie imprint. It was a second book in the Afterlife with Archie vein of books that takes a very serious, creepy look at the Archie characters. In this case, it's Sabrina, our favorite teenage witch. Number 5, writer is, all right, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Roberto Aguiar-Sacasa. Artist is Robert Heck. And Sabrina has to face the Witch's Council for an accusation of conspiring with a mortal against the Church of Night. It will take a series of unnatural tests to prove her innocence, but none of it will bring her beloved Harvey back. She'll have to take matters into her own hands to find Harvey's missing soul. Recruiting two other young witches from a neighboring coven, Sabrina holds a seance, but as ever, Madame Satan is pulling the strings behind the scenes, and what Sabrina taps into is much more dangerous and diabolical, and will send our beloved teen witch on an epic quest. An epic quest? Oh, God, it's an epic just to get issue 6 out after issue 5. I don't know why I do this to myself, but heck, look at that variant cover. It looks just like the poster for Creepshow, one of my favorite horror movies. Anyway, that's Sabrina, number 5. Thank you.
Next up on page 304 from Boom Studios is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Pink, number 1 of 6. That's right, they're doing another mini-series on this featuring the original Pink Ranger from Power Rangers. Kimberly has retired to be a professional gymnast, but Zordon calls her back for one last mission. What's interesting is she's going to lead her own team here. Now, I don't know if that means it's the regular, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers she's going to be leading, or if there's another group of heroes or characters she's going to be leading them. Very curious about this. Obviously, as the original Pink Ranger, she's one of the iconic ones. I think there have been a few other Pink Rangers that have been just exceptionally interesting to follow, particularly the one from Time Force, because she was effectively the leader of the team. But this looks like a lot of fun. The art looks terrific. They've got some great incentive covers and such. Again, I usually don't double dip on those covers, but if they were to do a comic that collected all the covers, they could probably talk me into that pretty easily. what I've read so far of the Power Rangers stuff from Boom looks great. I think they've got a lot of potential here, and I want to see where they go with it. This is written by Brendan Fletcher and Kelly Thompson, and we've got Danielle DiNiculu. Again, apologize if I'm mispronouncing your names, but Danielle's doing the illustration. The artwork they've got here on the bottom of page 304 looks terrific. Nice, clean artwork, and I'm looking forward to this. It should be a lot of fun. I think you should check it out. It's a 32-page comic. It's $3.99. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount. It's a 6-issue miniseries, so if you don't get it now, you should consider at least the trade and stuff, but I think you should pick it up as the miniseries, just because if you don't support the content creation, there's no guarantee they'll be doing more. So, once again, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Pink number 1 from Boom Studios on page 304. Check it out.
Hey, Eric from Cowabunga Comics coming back with our last pick of the month, and this one is out of the Boom Studio section. It's Lumberjanes Don't Axe, Don't Tail 2016 Special Number 1, which I think is their way of saying it's Annual Number 1. And this is a $7.99 book with 48 pages, so it's a little spendy for a kid's book. My wife is the one that actually pointed this out and said that I should do a spotlight on it. She reads Lumberjanes and very much enjoys it. And this is basically kind of an alternate version of Girl Scouts. They get to meet all sorts of crazy creatures, whether they're animals or magical things. They have a counselor who I guess is very by the books, you know, don't make any trouble for me. I just want to live out this summer and be done with it. And then they've got their overall camp leader who kind of does the wink, wink, nod, nod, go have fun, go do your thing, and almost encourages them in some instances. And this is their first annual. It is being written by some new folks coming in to write a couple of stories here, Jen Wang and Kelly Thompson, with different artists, Christine Norrie and Savannah Ganuccio. Slightly different than the current writing team of Shannon Waters and Kat Lee, and the illustrator is still Brooke Allen on the main title. Lumberjanes, for those that don't know, was Noel Stevenson's kind of breakout item. It was an Eisner winner for its first book and series, I think. And it's up to 3 trades. So if you've got some young females in your family or friendship circle that are looking for maybe an entry into comic books, Lumberjanes is definitely a great place for them to start. Obviously, my wife reads it. I personally have a friend who has a 9 and 7-year-old daughters that read it, and they love it. So if it's something that might speak to you or someone you know, I encourage you to check it out. If you don't want to pick up the annual, you can always pick up the monthly issues, which are $3.99, or the trades. Like I said, the first 3 trades are out. So we're going to go ahead and throw out there Lumberjanes, Don't Axe, Don't Tail 2016 Special Number 1 on page 315 in Boom. And that will be it for Cowabunga Comics this month. Again, Cowabunga Comics, we are Lake Country, Wisconsin's premier pop culture destination. We're about 20 minutes west of Milwaukee, so if you're ever in the area, please do stop out, say hi, let us know you heard us on the podcast. And we'll be looking forward to bringing some more items to you next month on the Preview Spotlight. Thanks, John, and everybody else.
Hey, guys, it's Drew with a pick from Devil's Do First Comics on page 347. Squarriors, Volume 2, Summer Number 1. This is the second volume. There's also a 2-page spread on page 342, which is beautiful to behold, as was this first volume of this book. It's written by Aj Masko, but it's really the art here that is king. This is Ashley Witter doing the art on this book, and it is just beautiful squirrel warriors and other animals. I think it's described as Watership Down meets Walking Dead. If you can kind of wrap your mind around that. A lot of fun here. This is going to be a 4-page mini this time. The last one was as well, but I don't think it was solicited as such. This time they're going to solicit it as such right up front. 32 pages, full glorious color, beautiful painted, realistically drawn, lovely art to look at. Squarriors, Volume 2, Summer Number 1. Check it out on page 347 and a 2-page spread on 342. It's in the Devil's Do First Comics section. Check that out.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick for previews. Again, I want to say thank you, John. You have a great network of podcasts. I've been listening for years, and just last month and now this month is the first time I've ever participated, and I'm having a blast. For my last pick, it's on page 358 of the preview catalog in Fantagraphic Books section, and it's The Complete Peanuts, 1999 to 2000. This is something that's a little bit more special than those books I was saying previously that come out once or twice every couple of years. This is a book series that has been coming out tracing back the Peanuts comic strip from Charles M. Schulz over 60 years. I mean, 60 years of Peanuts comic strips from start to end when Charles Schulz unfortunately passed away back in 2000. And I now will own them all because I got every single one of these volumes. The Complete Peanuts, 1999 to 2000, has an introduction by Barack Obama. Every month is a new introduction. Fantagraphics presents the final collection of the defining comic strip of the 20th century. This volume collects the final year through to the last strip on February 13th, 2000. 50 years since its debut. Oh, did I say 60? Sorry about that. In this volume, Rerun cements himself as the last great Peanuts character, embarking on a career as an underground comic book artist. Also featured is The Complete Little Folks, a weekly one-panel comic produced between 1947 and 1950, along with an introduction by none other than President of the United States himself, Barack Obama. This may seem like the end, but fear not. We have one more volume up our sleeve for next fall. Interesting. Wonder what that's going to be. Well, I know I'll be buying that one too, and probably talking about it on that previous episode. So, thank you very much again, John, and everyone, have a great month.
Chris Myers with a pick from Oni Press, letter 44, number 25. The writer is Charles Soule, and the art is by Alberto Jimenez Albuquerque. Charles Soule is telling a fascinating story that involves outer space, alien invasion, and government conspiracy. If you enjoy what Charles Soule does with Marvel Comics, you should give this a try. It's 32 pages, $3.99.
It's Brawlinator again, and my next back-of-the-book selection from this month's previews is America Number One by John Hughes. It's found on page 390, and it features Jason Pearson art. This character is first introduced in Overground Comics' third issue of Graduate. This superhero, called America, loses her invulnerability that's helped her fight crime for the past decade. And yet America has been undeterred by her new vulnerability and is still recklessly fighting crime at the expense of her physical well-being. Having been without the ability to experience pain for so long, America actually finds herself thrilled by the newly rediscovered feeling and embraces it. America is a story about addiction and self-discovery, and Overground Comics promises it is going to bring with it plenty of action and excitement. The series is being written by Overground founder John Hughes, and the art is supplied by the supremely talented Jason Pearson. This book promises to impress readers hungry for more of Jason's edgy and exciting art. America debuts on the 4th of July, of course. Now, I haven't read any Overground Comics before, but I do admire Pearson's artwork, so I'm giving this a shot. Check it out with me. It's America Number One over on page 390 of this month's previews.
Hello, John. This is George Corey. I wanted to mention on page 424 is a listing for my new book called Comic Book Fever. It's a book published by Tomorrow's Publishing. Comic Book Fever is a book that celebrates the pivotal comics era of 1976 through 1986. It's a love letter to the medium, the era, and its creators. Inside the book are interviews with people such as Neil Adams, John Romita, George Perez, Marv Wolfman, Alan Moore, and many more. I did over 70 interviews for this book, and I spent 5 years putting it together because I wanted to bring back the experience of what it was like to be a kid back in this era. It's something I think you'll like. Please give it a look. I put everything I had into it, and I think it's my best book of the ones I've done. Thank you. Bye.
This book looks terrific, and you can judge for yourself. We've got a link in the show notes to about 32 pages of sample material from the book. So check out Comic Book Fever. It looks great. This is, for me, kind of the golden age of comics, just from my own background and stuff. I love this era. definitely check this out. My last pick of the month is on page 437. It is Exo Man of War Annual Number 1 for 2016. This is a 64-page comic with a couple of different stories on it. One is set in the past, before Eric had gotten the armor and kind of his time in a particular battle or whatever back in the past. That should be fairly interesting. Again, you get the Roman Empire side of things, or set back in that time frame, I should say. We've also got a storyline here with Commander Trill, and then another one with modern-day story with the Armorines and such. I'm looking forward to it. I think they're doing a lot of fun stuff with Exo. This should be a decent jumping-on point, kind of a sampler, if you will, for a lot of the characters involved in it. This is one of their longest ongoing titles. I presume it's still ongoing. I'd have to go check around with the whole 4001 storylines. Hard to tell if certain things are just taking a month off or whatever. Anyways, the annual here I think is a lot of fun. I think Exo is a interesting twist on the Iron Man mythos, always has been from the original Valiant days up to now. And this Valiant Entertainment group, which of course is not the original Valiant, whatever, but they're doing a great job. They've got good production values. They're picking some really talented creators. They're honoring the past of the Valiant characters, yet, you know, going off in some interesting directions that hadn't been gone before. So it's not a retread by any stretch, but a good, fun continuation of it. So I really recommend a lot of the Valiant stuff, Exo in particular, and again, Exo Man of War Annual Number 1 here on page 437. Check it out.
It's the Brawlinator, and my final selection this month is on page 440 in previews, and it's from Valiant Comics, the Rye Deluxe Edition Oversized Hardcover. It's from New York Times bestselling writer Matt Kent and superstar artist Clayton Crane, and inside you will discover the world of 41st century Japan with an all-new vision of the future unlike anything you've seen before, unless, of course, you are already full in on Valiant's comic line, which they've got so much good stuff going on over there. If you haven't, this is a great place to jump in. Let me read the solicit. The year is 4001 AD. Led by the artificial intelligence called Father, the island nation of Japan has expanded out of the Pacific and into geosynchronous orbit with the ravaged Earth below. With billions to feed and protect, it has fallen to one solitary guardian to enforce the law of Father's empire, the mysterious folk hero known as Rai. They say he can appear out of nowhere. They say he is a spirit, the ghost of Japan. But when the first murder in 1,000 years threatens to topple Father's benevolent reign, Rai will be forced to confront the true face of a nation transformed and his own long-lost humanity. This edition collects Rai number 1 through 12, along with material from the Rai 1 Plus Edition and the Rai 5 Plus Edition. This prestige-sized hardcover comes packed with over 20 pages of rarely seen art and extras direct from the Valiant Vaults. It's a special oversized hardcover. It's 352 pages. This is solid material. You should check it out. It's on page 440 of this month's previews, and it's on the shelves in your comic shops the first week of May. Thank you, John, and thanks, everyone. I enjoy doing this show every month, and I will see you guys in the forums. Got to go update my DCBS order form right now.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. Last month's preview spotlight episode 100 was an incredible episode. It was a great episode. And I want to give a shout out to Gabe. Gabe, thank you very much for recommending Aliens Defiance number 1. As you've already heard from this episode, I'm at least picking up the first story arc of this new Alien series. So I just want to check it out to see, you know, see if I like it. So Gabe, thank you very much for recommending the new Alien series. And I just want to welcome Gabe, Chip, Todd, Chris Myers, and Mike Myers. And I'm sorry if I forgot, you know, someone's name. I'm sorry about that. But I look forward to hearing everyone's clips in future episodes. And I encourage everybody, you know, to submit a clip to future preview spotlight episodes. It's fun to do. It's really great making these clips. You know, I love talking about the comics, you know, that I read. It's great. It really is. So if you guys get a chance, at least, you know, submit a clip in, like Drew talked about in the comic book page podcast episode 444. You know, he talked about how he submitted a clip in, and before you know, he knew it, he was like submitting, you know, a few more clips, you know, to some of these preview spotlight episodes. So, you know, like I said, I encourage you guys just to at least submit a clip. Who knows, you guys might get hooked, and you know, you guys will be sending in multiple clips in future episodes. You know, so you know, give it a try. And also too, you know, please, you know, check the forum on, you know, on deadlines on submitting clips, you know, how to record a clip and so forth. Thank you everyone for listening. I look forward to hearing all your clips. Until next month, aloha.
So my order is shaping up to be around $545. 31 cents after bags, boards, weekly shipping, etc. There's no way I could get this many comics if it wasn't for the huge discount at DCBS. And the other thing that was huge this month is, man, the number of clips we got was insane. We got 68 clips. I believe that sets a record for everything except last month where we had the 100 clips. This was just an incredible turnout. I want to thank Alan, Billy, Brandon, Chris Brawley, Chris Myers, Drew, Eric, George, Jason, Joe, Mike, Todd, and Wade for sending stuff in. Again, we've got an open submission policy, so if you didn't send something in this time, send something in next time or whenever you can. There's a ton of great comics coming out, and it's easy for stuff to get lost in the shuffle. Like I said, I usually add a couple of things in the course of editing this episode. And, you know, right now I've got, I think, 2 items from Dark Horse, about 58 from DC, 8 from IDW, 10 from Image, 83 from Marvel. That's accounting for about 43% of the items on my order right now. They're just coming out with a lot of stuff. And about 32 items from the back half of previews. So I've still got to do a bit of a deeper dive through previews. I haven't had time to do that yet, but that'll probably change up my order a little bit. Now, one of the other things I want to mention is, in addition to orders being due at DCBS on March 23rd, I believe, next previews is going to come out on March 30th. The next preview spotlight deadline will be April 9th. That's a Saturday, of course. The preceding Saturday, April 2nd, that is the first Saturday after the next previews, we are going to do a previews teleconference. We're going to do that at 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern on that Saturday. And basically, we're going to be discussing what's in previews or just comics in general, whatever kind of comes up in the discussion. There's no hardcore agenda there. It's just, again, a bunch of people hanging out on Skype and chatting. To join in, basically, text me on Skype. My handle is TheJohnMayo. And just say, hey, you want to get added into the conference call? I'll add you in. We'll just, you know, again, the conversation will either be starting at that point or ongoing at that point. You can come and go as you need, depending on your schedule and stuff. We haven't done this in a while, but it's a ton of fun. Often these go for a number of hours. Again, just depends on the conversation. So hopefully you can join us for that. If it goes well, we'll keep doing it. Now, we're doing it, again, that first weekend after previews. And the reason for that is this weekend, when the preview spotlight needs to get edited, is usually a fairly busy weekend for me, because while I was doing the editing of the preview spotlight, I was also doing a lot of the data cleaning and initial work for the number crunching, because the February sales data came out, and I've got to get the article up for that. So that's why we're going to try to do the previews conference that weekend before kind of that madness. Just so I can actually have the time to join in the conference and, you know, not feel like I'm getting behind on the things I've got to do for the podcast and the number crunching. So if you can join us on April 2nd in the evening for that, please do. If you have any questions about it, there's a thread on the forum for it. We hope you can join us. Again, I hope you guys found stuff in previews based on the number of submissions we got this month. I think a lot of you did, and that's great. Again, very pleased with the massive turnout this month on the preview spotlight, with everyone sending in clips. These episodes just aren't the same when we don't have, you know, the submissions like we had this month. This was just a huge turnout, and the episodes the better for it. So thank you, everybody. I really do appreciate it. So with that, I'm going to finish off this episode and get back to the number crunching.
Mm-hmm. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.